Holy touched me. And oh, what joy now fills my soul. Something happened.
Yeah. God is giving someone a son in the spirit. His grace of God. All eyes closed, all is bound. My son, God is here. In Kaboma, Kalingas, receive the boldness. In Abos, and Alina. So you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Hallelujah. No one's a God is here. You shall be witnesses unto me. Hallelujah. And all the ends of the earth. In Kaboma, Sadaya. Makrabos, and Abbas, and Alina. Lord, we worship you. In Jesus' name, we worship you. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. What's going on? Amen. Hallelujah. And also never close your heart of worship. Always, always make it open. Hallelujah. It's the month of August and it's indeed a month of display of wonderful acts of God in our midst. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, Acts chapter 20, that we read now. And always, always amuses me the way God works. Hallelujah. Even when it happens again and again, I always get amused. Hallelujah. How many of you listen to the radio? Our radio book. How many of you? How many of us know my name's Remy? What's the title? What's the title of the radio program? What's the title of the radio program?
If you are never wrong,
what's the title? It's not if you are never wrong. Okay, so for your learning sake, Okutobi has read Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. And it says, so now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Hallelujah. That will be on the radio program, word of his grace. Amen. Hallelujah. The word of his grace. Amen. Which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. It says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. Amen. And we want to take that to you up. I don't think you build you up. What's going to build you up? What's able to build you up? Word of his grace. Hallelujah. And by so doing, gives you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Amen. Hallelujah. So, who's it down on the left? I want you to eat it. And if you are left-handed, it's your right hand. Hallelujah. Because it's the word of God that's able to build you. Amen. So when I was thinking about this service, oh God, what will you have me say? Amen. And it kept taking me back to certain events that have happened in the last 4 weeks. And I kept saying, no, I don't want to go that route. Give me something. I don't want to be like an event that I'm speaking. And he said, that's what I want. And then when I sat there in the car and we were praying, forgiveness and mercy. And I just started laughing. And because God has a way of dealing with his people. Hallelujah. Amen. That's a way of confirming that this is the word for now. Amen. Initially, I thank you this message. What's model of love? What's model of love? Hallelujah. And you know when we pray, I think I heard that without love, we are not forgiven. Amen. Hallelujah. Alright, let's open our Bibles to Genesis. So it's God's model of love, and that's what we're looking at. But let's open our Bibles to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 50. And I'm going to read from verse 15. Let me take it. verse 14. So it says, after burying Jacob, Joseph returned to Egypt with his brothers, and all who had accompanied him to his father's burial. But now that their father was dead, Joseph's brothers became fearful. Now Joseph will show. So they said to themselves, okay, now Joseph is going to show his anger and pay us back for all the wrong we did to him. He said, okay, so of course we know the story of Joseph. Many of us don't know the story of Joseph. Some people don't, it's not the crime of the world. But in this assembly, it should be a crime for the story of Joseph. Because we read the Bible from beginning to end every year. Hallelujah. And we have done that consistently now for at least 3 years. Amen. So at least even if you get tired, you should have read Genesis. If you want to read at all for the rest of the year. You know, at the beginning of the year, you find out that you have a resolution. And this year, I want to read the Bible. So at worst case, you have read Genesis. And then you understand the story of Joseph. How he had a dream, told his brothers and his family, hallelujah. And then he plotted his holy way to slavery. Then he ended up becoming prime minister, hallelujah. And when there was famine in Canaan, he came to Egypt where he was prime minister. And not knowing, because he had developed, not knowing that they were Joseph, okay? They were bowing to him. And he wanted to build himself, and then he made them go bring their father, he made them go bring his brother Benjamin, and then brought his father, okay? And now their father was dead. Hallelujah. Their father was dead. How many were there? Many brothers. There were 12 in number. Okay. So 11, so minus Benjamin, his brother, 10 of them were proved that put him in the first in the pit and then sold him off to slavery. But then he said, now that their father was dead, because they had a record of what they did. They look back and they still remember how they treated him, okay? They felt, wow, our cover is gone. Maybe it's because of our father that's been alive, that Joseph had not dealt with us all these times that we came to, what do you call it, to reunite, not with us, family united, and they must have felt, oh, because Jacob was alive, that's why Joseph did not deal with us. That's why when Jacob died, they could say that, when Joseph, the Bible says, when his father saw that their father was dead, he said, perhaps Joseph will eat us and will actually pay us for all the evil we did to him. And then, okay, so after they had talked to themselves, they sent messengers to Joseph saying, before your father died, he commanded, say, first you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespass of the servants of God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and he said, behold, you are your servants. Then Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me. But God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. So now therefore, do not be afraid, I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Amen. Hallelujah. Ask him for it. Okay. Now, so Joseph is simply telling them that all I've been doing since you guys came to me was not dependent on the fact that our father was alive. He was telling them that, look, genuinely, I have understood the reason why God kept me alive and talked to this place. And if you people had not killed, okay, he just looked at his journey. And if it hadn't happened, he wouldn't be where he was. Hallelujah. But at the same time, he's saying, you meant it for evil. It was on an evil act. But then God turned it for good. But it's not holding that record against even the ones that held the record against themselves and were living, if their families had all the time they have had their life, they must have been tiptoeing around him. Amen. And so they felt all their defenses were gone by the time their father had left. Hallelujah. Let's go to Mark chapter 12. I read from verse 28. Mark 12, 28. I just showed you an example of kindness, forgiveness in the scriptures. It was totally based on human understanding the fact that whatever you are, wherever you are, is God. Amen. So every condition that has happened on the way to where you are now, Joseph looked at it and said, God had a hand in it. Hallelujah. He has taken whatever people thought to end up and give. So therefore, he had let go whatever he was ready for. He had let go. Hallelujah. Amen. As a man of the Bible says that then one of his scribes came and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second commandment, and the second like it, is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than this. Hallelujah. So the first one says, Lord your God is one. You love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is like the first one. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than this. Hallelujah. Amen. Then, down the line, Christ was speaking to his disciples in John chapter 13. John chapter 13, reading from verse 34. And so these are the red letters. It says that a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Amen. Hallelujah. The first they were testing about the commandments. The new one of them is greater. And then he said, this first and second they are like, for this thing, this is the greater of all the commandments. Love God. Love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. As yourself. And then, John chapter 13, was speaking to his Bible, says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Hallelujah. Model love that we also follow, that is the new commandment. There's no longer is it love your neighbor as well yourself. Because it's limited. You look at it, it's very limited. When you love your neighbor, as you love yourself, as if you love yourself at all. Hallelujah. So, you know, I think in the scripture, right, there's a part of the scripture that talks about the fact that if you remember, if you go to the altar, and then you suddenly remember that brother has something against you. Okay? So if you drop whatever you want to do, leave whatever you want to do at all time, go look for that person that you think has something against you, and then go settle the matter. This is a man to go. Come on. Let me look for it. Thank you. Matthew. Right? Yeah, Matthew chapter 5. So he says, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, you say to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, he was talking about if you want to worship God. Let's go back to 23. He says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, if you bring your gift to the altar, so you are going to worship God, you have brought your gift, okay? Your gift of thanksgiving, hallelujah, you have brought it to the altar. He says, and then you remember that your brother has something against you. Then you leave that gift. Because some people will come off the room. And I'm going to say they leave that gift. And then what? Says, then you go your way. First, you reconcile your brother. And then come and find your gift. So if you love, I said this because in Mark chapter 12, where it says, love your neighbor as yourself. If you love yourself, you are there what Matthew 5, 23 and 24 says. Because it's simply telling you that, look, when you go to the altar, and this is definitely going to be a stumbling block for this offering that you want to give. So instead of you giving that offering in that condition, that you know that there's no reconciliation between you and your brother, then you ought to first go, leave the gift. First go and reconcile yourself. So if you love yourself and you really want your prayers to ascend and to be accepted, you will fulfill this part of the scripture. Now it says, love yourself, love your neighbor as yourself. But oftentimes, everybody will not do this. Hallelujah. So each time you say love your neighbor as yourself, hallelujah, except you genuinely love yourself, you will not be, and that's why I also went back to Acts chapter 20, verse 32. I talked about the fact that the word of God is able to build you up. Hallelujah. That's what I wanted to use there. The word of God is able to build you up. He says, I commend you to the word of God, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. The word of God is able to build you up. Now, you don't suddenly arrive. Amen. So if you see somebody that, you know, how do you say it? What do you do? As I like that, the big boy. He did not just suddenly arrive. Okay? There's always a process. Whether you like it or not. Whether you think everybody that is knowing his problem. Even if it's a problem, there's a process. Everything is a process. So he's saying here that the word of God is able to build you up. And when you are building, there are baby steps. That once you take them consistently, it begins to grow and grow and become very big. Hallelujah. But when the bee gets to this level. So if you ever go to the beach, I decide I want to build a castle and in the beach land, and you start from also, by the time you finish and you install as you are, when somebody comes to kick it, you marvel at the amount of sound that you have played with over time. That's what people want us. When the word of God is to build you, it means that you soak, you revive the word of God and you give that word. Hallelujah. So everybody, that's what I was talking to someone last week. And I was like, look, if you know that your brother has something against you, yes, that's what the Bible said. It's me that has something against you. But you might not be my frustration. He said, yes. He said, yes, I'm the one that has something against you. It's not me that has something. So the Bible told me, it's talking about the person that if you remember that your brother has something against you, so does it work for you? I said, really? Is it not easier? Which one is more difficult? Is it not easier for you to know that you have something against somebody than for you to scan your head that somebody has something against you? Hallelujah. And I just was like, I said, we like to interpret the Bible for our own convenience. But this is what it's saying. That if there is any reconciliation to be done, okay, if you remove this, and then remember that your brother has something against you, that language in Exodus. 24. Leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. It's forced to reconcile to your brother. If you take that force to reconcile to your brother, it does not matter whether it's you that has something against him or him that has something against you. Hallelujah. But it's showing you the complexity of this matter that if you just think that I am Collins thinks that I am wicked, I need to go and meet Collins and tell him that I am wicked. Although I may not do that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? That if I think that you have something against me, that you think I have something against you, or you have something against me, I think about it, I must go back and do this. Before I come back to the altar, I believe, raise your holy hands and worship God. Why? Because God does not abhor sin. And when we were praying for forgiveness, he sinned. So if there is no reconciliation between you and your brother, it's a gap, a hollow between you and God. So if you want to be very, very selfish and move ahead in this life, then you must obey this Matthew 5:23-24. And as if that's not, as if that is not bad enough, no, this one is very bad, I mean. Because if you're shaking your head now, somebody hit me yesterday, then I hit it back. And I know that I hit it very hard. And I'm thinking in my mind, okay, I'm going to take it very bad. Let me admit it. I'm so sorry. It's something that I don't need to be able to do. Amen. But it's something that you have to do. Amen. So if you do it first time, second time, third time, by the fourth time that you naturally want to do that, if nobody should have any offense, not for you. You just become a naturally good person. Because the time you scan in your head and say, actually, what did I say to her that was a problem? Or what did I tell colleagues? After a while, you will be so if you want to tell somebody, you talk to people nicely. You do things very well towards people. So much so that if they are going to want to hold it against you, everybody will know that this guy let go of you. And Christ is now saying, John 13:34, that look, this is a new commandment. Wrong, but this is the only place I said, as you say, it's a new commandment I give to you. It's added to it that love your neighbor. Is love one another the way I've loved you. Amen. Love one another the way I have loved you. Just before, when we were yes, what did you do? Romans 5:6-8. Romans 5:6-8. It says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good one, someone will even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us. Hallelujah. That while we were yet sinners, we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Hallelujah. Please go back one step. It says, for scarcely a righteous man, will one person die. Every time. I really smell of this. I always went back Titanic. When we first saw the film Titanic, my friend and I, we saw it. And then we were just, I said, guy, this guy that just died inside water. The guy died inside water. Froze. Have you watched Titanic? He froze inside water. Now, who told the story of the Titanic? The woman. The woman that was helping to float. I laugh now. Oh, the woman that Baba Boy was helping to float so that she would not sink. I mean, who was she telling the story to? Is it Esmeralda? I think it was a graduate. I grant you the meaning that after the Bobonais are frozen inside water, Juliet would marry to somebody else. Hallelujah. Amen. So, he said, for scarcely a righteous man won't die. Hallelujah. See, I'm laughing. Are you getting it? It's very difficult. I mean, yet perhaps for a good man, someone will even dare die. But what God demonstrates his own love towards us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. So when it still looked like we were filthy, of no use to be put, okay? He made provision and then he made Christ to die. So at the time Christ was dying, everybody was just living around us. I mean, everything we did was always against God. Hallelujah. But he said, even when we were still sinners, okay, when we had no right standing with him, he made sure that Christ died so that we had no right standing with him. That is his model of love. Hallelujah. The model where he does not take into account, okay, your misgivings, your setbacks, your shortcomings, doesn't take into account, and then he makes a place, gives you grace, so that you can approach him. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord, they say, so the guy that is frozen inside water and died, if that woman was supposed to do right thing, if she was supposed to have followed him, Peter, I watch in the movies, I said to you, they are the typical example of people that should follow this code. They are the only ones I've seen that will stand in front of bullets, anyone should want the law, stand there. They are the only ones I see that they will slap several times, and they still stay there and say, because of law for this person, I will, no matter what they do, I continue to see you stand. I don't have system when we're teaching. I don't want everyone to criticize this and say, what's this? For once, they will always, every time, they will always quote that love is far greater and is above any other thing. So it says here, Romans 4, verse 8. As Christ died for us, in Romans 4 verse 6, it says that what joy for those whose record Lord has cleared of sin. That's the NLT. In the new, give me the NKJV. The blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. And the definition of impute is what NLT has given to us. God imputes no record of sin. Why? Because Christ has died. Hallelujah. That's the law that he has for us. That's the kind of law that is telling us about. And look at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Hallelujah. Amen. So, go back to 31. This let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and speaking, put away from you with all malice. Hallelujah. Amen. So this is the beginning of this. These are the roots of all quarrel and whatever that people have. Bitterness, wrath, anger. I'm talking. I cannot just get rid of anger. So I see Bible believing Christians. Hallelujah. I go to church regularly, and I tell them it is not for you to go to bed angry. He said, no. It's on. Be angry. Amen. And I keep saying it. If only for you to be selfish. Why will you be selfish? Because if you do what the Bible says, you are the recipient of the reward. Amen. If you forgive your brother, hallelujah, you are the one that will have a rest of mind. If you love your brother and you do not have any bitterness or anything, you are doing all the better for it. And science even tries to make it even more scary for us. That when all these things, bitterness, wrath, anger, are in a man, his body degrades. Hallelujah. This is your body produces toxins when you are angry, when you are full of bitterness. It produces toxins. And those toxins cause the cells of your body to malfunction. And then it begins to form abnormally. Then different diseases happen. And then when you see someone with a disease, everybody says, he has not done anything wrong. But it's wrong when you are full of bitterness, wrath, and anger. Because your body also will reject it. That's why the Bible says that a merry soul walks like a blessing. Amen. Selfishness is not good. You know you're selfish. That you grab everything towards yourself. But in this matter, be selfish. Be selfish enough to keep these words because they are going to be up. Hallelujah. And we are going to see the end that God intended for people that will let go and love their neighbor the way Christ has loved you. Except you don't understand the way he has loved you. Or except you don't appreciate the way that he has loved you. So you sit down and look at the last 12 hours and look at one thing that you have not done right. That God has let go of. Amen. Hallelujah. This is as simple as they are written. Then it's easy to say. Yeah, they are simple as they are written. And if you follow them, they are simple as that. Yesterday, I was busy watching the Olympics. And then the Holy Spirit came calling me. He said, young man, the only thing is to go and pray. I don't remember the race we were watching. When I finished this race, by a certain time, I'll go and pray. Well, he said, well, I think you should be praying. That's what he said. I think you should be praying. So, I was busy watching, and we were doing all this, and watching. I just got a phone call. And it was an alarm. It was a serious one. Someone's life was taken. I said, oh, I'm coming right away. I left the Olympics. I dropped everything, carried my key, got into the car, and started driving. And when I started driving, I started praying. I said, God, I really don't need to pray. How are you going? Not to eat. So just go to pray and pray. Ah! God. The pizza's cause problem. Because it was about, and when I started, when I spoke to the person on my way, it was about the time that somebody was telling me that praying, that whatever was happening started happening. And so I kept praying. So I don't worry. So I drove from home to the island. Pray all the way. When I go to the middle of the God will love me. Say, okay, calm down. Just thank you. Hallelujah. So I said, thank you. See, when I was praying, because I was I was preaching to you guys here. I started laughing. I said, so hard. This one gets me. It was as though I was preaching to you guys. I was alone in the car. So I was praying. And he said, don't just thank you. He said, everything is fine. So when I got to the hospital, and I announced that I had arrived. And then I saw everybody. Everybody was they were in panic. And I was not bouncing. And they looked at me and said, don't you know what is happening? I said, because you are going to be here, happy people. When I went into the room, I looked at the patient. But I wanted to pray. Then one was came. I thought we had a deal that by the time I get it, she'll get what it is. But then you, when another person came, I let people myself you guys, you know, let's just go and talk. Because this is going to turn around. And as that person came, I wanted us to be, and the person came and wanted to do, and then the person went, laid hands, and said, in the spirit, said it was just, meant to speak in tongues. And then he took it out of the night. The person opened her eyes and embraced the person. And then he came out and said, this is what has happened, and I spam. He said, because it already happened. I was just waiting for the presentation. And I said, this is the last time I have this, and I'm just going to go home for me. And we're looking at me. I said, because we're not doing the right things. Amen. But I was too sure when I got to the middle of the bridge, this was the same. Hallelujah. See, when we obey God's word, we are the recipients of the reward. So if you think that, because say that you forgive, that's what the word is. I'm hurting myself. No, I'm not hurting myself. I'm doing what Christ did for me. And I'm obeying Him. Amen. I'm obeying Him. In John chapter 15, verse 9, let's talk about verse 17. It says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandment, abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. That's the second time that I'm reading in this different scriptures. It says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. But my friends, if you do whatever I command you, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. All things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Hallelujah. He says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Hallelujah. Amen. And so to his friends, he continued to speak. So you are my friends, if you do whatever I command you. He says, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I've called you friends, for all things I had from my Father have been to you. Let's pause there. So if you do all things that he commands you to do, he will call you a friend. Hallelujah. And once he calls you a friend, everything that his Father has told him, he will tell him. Hallelujah. So if you want to know all things, hallelujah, then live a long life. He says, this is the commandment I have for you. Love one another as I have loved you. If you do what I have commanded you, then you are my friends. Okay? And for his friends, those are the ones that he tells whatever his Father has told you. Let's continue. This, and that you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Hallelujah. So those ones that they call these friends, say that you are not choosing me, I chose you. Okay? And to go and bear fruit. The ones that obey his commandments. Ones that bear fruit. And the commandment is that the hammer of them was what? Go and love your neighbor as I have loved you. That's God's model of love. God's model of love does not involve battery. It does not involve putting up hallelujah. And it does not involve bitterness for us. Hallelujah. It just simply makes a pays for you way before you commit an offense. In First Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 13 from verse 4. It says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity. But rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will build. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. The only thing that never fails, that never vanishes, is love. Hallelujah. So he has said a whole lot of things. He says here that this love. Okay, so love suffers wrong and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Love does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity. But rejoices in truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. And endures all things. One thing that everybody does not want to hear these days is to endure. Hallelujah. When you want to tell you that something is happening and you are telling me to endure. Hallelujah. Nobody is not saying you will be ready to see it. Hallelujah. When you endure, then you want to have more bitterness. You know there are two different things when you see it. And when you endure, there are two different things. Hallelujah. From afar. Appreciate it. Make a case for them. So what do you say anything you say that will bring you already make a case that if you are not better, you wouldn't have said it. That's the way God dealt with us. There is no greater love than this. A man lay down his friend's life for his friend. Hallelujah. People say there are no two Jesuses. But Jesus has made sure that there are two of him by telling us that we should know the way he loved. Hallelujah. Amen. See, we love the way he has loved us. He has loved us in spite of ourselves. He has loved us despite the things we do. Hallelujah. And he has loved us irrespective of who we are or where we come from. And this is the model of love that we should work out. He says, if you love him, you will do the things that he has commanded. And I've said this, that when you are working God's model, because you have to believe yourself for what you're doing as right, and you need to do the things that are right, it takes the process and the building, because you never give it. God does not say you should not renew when you do it in God. Hallelujah. Do it in a way that the person understands again that I've done it wrong. Hallelujah. But then, there's always grace available. And you also know that you need to be bad. But when someone does something wrong and you keep the person, not your tongue and your mouth, you keep the person, you are never able to go and minister to that person again because the person has chosen. Now, who is losing? What parties are losing? Hallelujah. But you that have a message to deliver, you will be so hot that you cannot deliver that message. And I said, if you will be selfish at all, selfish, you keep it to the commandment of God. But then he lays your power. He says, when I call you friends, I will tell you what my Father has told you. Amen. And it's not you that will call him friend. It's the one that will call you friend because he's the one that chose you. He didn't choose him. Amen. He will call you friend because he sees that you have given his commandments. And then he will know everything that he knows. Then you have access to everything. God's model of God is the model that you work after. Hallelujah. Even for the husband and the wife, it says, husband, what? Love your wives as Christ has loved the church. And if you look at it, it's like the that he gave up his life for the church. For the church, you see. Amen. When you spend time with somebody, trying to make his life better. You know that time, you can never give it back again. So, whatever you're using your time for, you can never give it back again. So, if it's money now, if it's money, you can't give that time. That's part of my life that has been lost. That time is gone. Then, because when you say, how can you keep the life of your friend? If you sit down, take your friend through the scriptures. Hallelujah. Sit down and encourage your friend. That time that you have used, you not give him back again. That's his life that you have given to someone. Every time you are spending your time in an uncovered manner, or in a manner that brings no reward to you, know that it's a waste of your life. Time is life. Time ticks, so this second has gone, and it keeps going. You use it well. Well, if Christ gave up his life, you can't give up your life. And the way to give up your life, spend time and make other people's life better. Somebody comes to you, does not live a better person, does not do anything added to that person's life. But for every encounter you have with your friends, every encounter you have with your classes, let them be and learn something new and they live a better person. Hallelujah. You know, if I ask somebody to buy me a bottle of water, and then they come and say, oh, I bought this bottle of water for 300 naira, and I know that the bottle of water is stronger, I won't tell you that I've stolen my money. I won't tell you. I'll tell you that next time, let me show you where to buy it. It's 200 naira. In your mind, you know that I know. Value that. No point calling somebody in team and start fighting. Just tell them, say, Father, this thing, come in. Go ahead. When they go by now, they do. They are very bad. Go ahead. You know that it's you that is bad. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's it. You say, damn, you didn't appreciate that I went all the way to start arguing and then problem. No, just tell the person, this shop over there, this is Christ. Next time, over there. See, next time, the person, if I want to ask me something, the person asks me, where can I buy it? Because you know that if he comes back, you probably will tell him that, you know, this thing, about how much is this thing? That's what I'm saying. You don't need to call someone a thief. The thief knows that he's a thief. Just let somebody know that you could have done better by doing this way. Tomorrow, the person will have everything. Amen. Give your life to people. Show your life and your time to people by depositing Christ in their life. Spend good time, quality time, following that gospel model of love. Amen. And if he said he gave his life for his friends, give your time, give your life for your friends. That's why he's trying. I just thank him that nothing is difficult for him. If he gave up his life so that you and I can be saved, we also can give up our life so that our friends can be saved. We also can give up our lives so that people around us can become better people. Have that Christ come to me. It's not for one man. It says, the peace of God has appeared to all men. Hallelujah. Give him all the glory. Father, we thank him. Just thank you for your word that is able to build us up. Because our inheritance among those who are sanctified. Thank you, because indeed, on a daily basis, we desire even to increase and progress in the knowledge of the things of is great. More and more in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we give you the praise. In Jesus' name, we pray.